All right, our next presenter is Susan Huyanga. Susan worked as project assistant on Sound Directions and is currently processing and quality control specialist for the Media Digitization and Preservation Initiative at Indiana University. She received her MS in information with a specialization in archives and records management from the University of Michigan and her BA in linguistics from the University of California, Berkeley. And her presentation is Sound Directions at Indiana University, What Exactly Did We Preserve?
Thank you. Sound Directions was an audio preservation project at the Archives of Traditional Music at Indiana University in partnership with the Archive of World Music at Harvard University. It was funded by three NEH grants, though we continued some digitization with money from the university. Mike Casey of Indiana and Bruce Gordon of Harvard wrote the Sound Directions publication, and there's been a lot of talk about the technical aspects of Sound Directions, but people may have wondered what actually got digitized, what sort of content. So I'm going to play clips from my favorite collections. I should say these are not necessarily the most significant or the most beautiful. They're the ones that I, as an archivist, will always remember. Starting with George Herzog, each slide is going to have a number on it. The first number is the year that it was accessioned. The second is which collection that year was accessioned, and the last digit or character is, in this case, an F for field. So you'll see that on each one. George Herzog was an anthropologist. He studied in Budapest and then Berlin and then under Franz Boas at Columbia University. And then he came to Indiana. And he was a collector. He had many recordings. He got people to send him their recordings and he made copies. And his collection was the beginnings of what became the Archives of Traditional Music, which is an ethnographic sound archive with the music, folklore, linguistic, and anthropological recordings. So I'm going to play. Shoot. Just a bit. The next one is from the Vogelin collection. Carl and Florence Vogelin were linguists. They worked on Algonquian and Uto-Aztecan languages, and they tried to set up the archives of the languages of the world, but eventually that became part of the Archives of Traditional Music. My own background being in linguistics, I actually enjoy listening to language elicitation recordings somewhat. I thought about spending an entire 20 minutes playing those, but I realized other people don't enjoy it as much as I do. So I'm going to just play this one little snippet.
Starting a room in which I will interpret a vocabulary list and chorus for eliciting in Hopi. Food quest. Siqua. To plug. Yaha. To dig. Hua. To trap. Heva. To hunt.
I should say that the linguistic recordings are some of the most frequently requested from the archives. There are many Native American tribes and indigenous communities that are working on language revitalization, and it gladdens my linguist heart to know that these are being preserved. The next one is from Edward D. Ives, a folklorist who worked in Maine and the Maritime Provinces of Canada. He was founder and director of the Maine Folklore Center. This is a song about men on a ship who find ghosts, joining them on board, and then they figure out why the ghosts have appeared. I love this song and the man's voice, but it's about 7 minutes long, so I'm only playing the last two verses.
We sailed right in the harbor, and every one of the crew can tell you the same story, the same as I now do. The trim before the other, we were on the Georgia then, ran down another vessel and sank her and her men. These were the same poor fellows. I hope God bless their souls, that our old ship ran under that night on Georgia's shore. So now you've heard my story, it's just as I now say. I do believe in spirit from that time and today.
The next one is from Waldemar Hilly. You can see a picture of him recording Emma Dusenberry, who was well known for her knowledge of folk songs in Arkansas. Hilly was a good old-fashioned leftist. He was musical editor of the People's Songs newsletter and later editor of the People's Songbook. And I'm actually going to play a union organizing song that happened to be in this collection. Just the beginning.
I thumbed my way from Tennessee for a break 2 mile and a pussyfoot three. Got a roaring blister under my toe and it hurts like holy moly. Lived the nicest bunch of fellas back home. My ma and my pa, cause I had to roam to talk to every one of you guys to tell you how to get wise. You guys gotta organize, yes sir, start today. You guys gotta organize, there ain't no other way.
Now, most of the recordings at the archives are more anthropological in nature. This one kind of slipped in somehow. We used it to practice parallel transfers during sound directions. It's interviews recorded by two people who were in the Peace Corps in 1989, and they went around interviewing political activists in all or nearly all of the 50 states. And there were a lot of really depressing stories in there, people talking about how the factory opened or the waste dump opened and suddenly all the children in the neighborhood were getting cancer and a lot of horrible things like that. This one I remember because I love the way this man dealt with harassing phone calls.
While it was going on, I did get a couple of phone calls. I believe it was the same guy who called a few times, and he sounded like a redneck. He sounded like an older kind of country kind of accent, and the first time he called, he said, "Is this Eric Love?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Are you the guy who likes Martin Luther King?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, I think he was just a big mouth," and he started, you know, yelling racial derogatory. So I just hung up on him. And then I was kind of spooked. I'm like, my name is in the phone book and my address is in the phone book. This is in Boise. And I live by myself. And I'm like, if anybody wanted to do something, they could. You know, And so I told my mom, she was a little more nervous than I was, and my boss at work. And she, my boss wanted me to stay at, out at her house. I'm like, no, I'll be okay. I did like stack all my, I had two bikes at the time. I stacked them at the front door when I went to bed. That way I could at least hear somebody coming in and I'd have a little bit of time to do something, I don't know what. And then the guy would call back and he would say like, how's your white wife and you still living on welfare and like saying things that are stereotypical. And of course they have nothing to do with me. I don't fit into any of those stereotypes. And he was just saying stuff like that. And that was a message on my answer machine because I wasn't home when he called. Then the next time he called, he was saying along the same lines and calling me Jungle Bunny and stuff like that. And I said, you know, I'm really glad that you call me because every day I come home and you call, it reminds me that I'm doing something right. So I'll talk to you tomorrow. And I hung up on him and he never called again.
The next one is actually from Indiana. This is from a radio broadcast called Hoosier Hop, and it's the Rootin' Tootin' Cowboy song by the yodeling cowboy Kenny Roberts. It's just the intro and then the end.
Call me Sundown Slim. I hail from out in Texas. I ride the 7M. I can make my trusty lariat just whistle, whine, and whirl. And win the heart of almost any brown-eyed prairie girl. I'm a rootin'
I'm from Los Angeles, and I did not know that the human voice could do that. The next one is from the Beck Collection. This is the first collection I worked on Sound Directions. And Terrence Beck joined the Peace Corps and went to Nepal, learned Nepalese, and then went back to do field work. And he came home with 400 open reel tapes of folk music, about half of which have been digitized at this point. There are a lot of beautiful pieces, but I like this one because I'd never heard a musician having a conversation with his sarangi before.
Nani, ina ro, poy ngara le kuti, kima hane ba, chakke chaka ma, bura. Eh, bura, kena kute ka? Tiol kau hadi nara? Leh, joki cahu? Nani?
The next one is just a short clip from the Feld Collection. Stephen Feld is known for sound studies, among his other work. And I might not have noticed how interesting this was if it weren't for the audio engineer, John Dawson, who was digitizing it, talking about how he'd apparently set the microphones and tried to pick up the echo. I have no idea whether this will come through in this setting, but it is lovely to hear. If I can get the mouse pad to work. Let's see. Sorry. I can't seem to get it. There we go. Thank you. Thank you.
Whoa! 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 Whoa!
Whoa! Now, I did study linguistics. I didn't do very much field work, but listening to these collections has given me a great appreciation of the difficulties that field workers face. Here's Alfred Poignard trying to get a story from a woman that he's talking to. I'm sorry, once again, I'm having trouble with... Luckily, there are only two more, so...
You have to, like, frantically do that.
Thanks.
And that'll get it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's three days, Mrs. Hannum, for the story.
Adam offered $50,000 for this one story.
Yes.
$50,000, think about it.
I see, I will tell you something about it.
$50,000 for that one story.
My goodness, I am not able to give you this sum.
Well, I wrote it out, though, for better gold.
But if I succeed to make something, you will. I will interest you
well,
if I succeed.
You should.
Of course, I should. I understand that.
You should.
Surely.
I came near getting the $50,000 for that one story.
Well, let me tell you something. Will you?
I don't remember what the story was about, but I'll always remember her saying that it was worth $50,000. The last collection I have, David McIntosh was a professor of musicology at Southern Illinois University, Carbondale, and he went around collecting a lot of folk songs from people. One thing I came to realize is that collecting folk songs did not mean going into town and finding the best singer. It meant finding the oldest person who remembered the most songs, and they're not necessarily the best singers. McIntosh seemed to really love Froggy Went to Courtin', a song that I'd never heard before and could live without hearing again. But he had 19 different versions of it on his 75 tapes, and I'm not going to play all of them, I'm just going to play a montage of 9 of them.
Froggy went a-courting. Froggy went a-courting, he did ride, uh-huh. Froggy went a-courting, he did ride, sword and a pistol by his side, uh-huh.
Okay. He rode up to Miss Mousie's den, uh-huh. He rode up to Miss Mousie's den, uh-huh. He rode up to Miss Mousie's den, said, Miss Mousie, are you within? Uh-huh.
Rap, 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 oh, Miss Mousie. Took Miss Mousie on his knee. Mm-hmm. Took Miss Mousie on his knee, and he said, Miss Mousie, will you marry me? Mm-hmm. Where shall the wedding be? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Miss Mouse said, no, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Miss Mouse said, no, I can't do that. You'll have to ask my brother Rat. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My brother Rat is...
Rat.
This is actually laugh, McIntosh himself reading
sides,
lyrics from his notebook.
Rat laugh, shake his fat sides to think his niece would be a frog's bride. Uh-huh. Uncle Rat, he rode the town. Uh-huh.
And don't forget Herschel Wedding Supper.
And we have that. No, and what shall the wedding supper be? Uh-huh. What shall the wedding supper be? Molasses cake and ginger tea. Uh-huh. The next came in.
Next came in was a bumblebee. And next came in was a bumblebee with his banjo on his knee. And that's about all I know.
Pass around the whiskey, Jim. Next come around the Mr. Tiki. Next come around the Mr. Tiki. He ate so much it made him sick. Then they sent for Mr. Fly.
Frog comes swimming over the lake. Frog came swimming over the lake, and he was swallowed by a big black snake. A little piece of cornbread lying on a shelf. If you want any more, you got to sing it yourself.
So to quote the last line of that song, if you want any more, you got to sing it yourself. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening.
For questions, do we have any questions?
For the field recordings, I'm wondering what percentage of those do you think they identify who the performer or the person being recorded are?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear that.
Sure. For the field recordings, what percentage of them that have been digitized have the information of who is being recorded?
I'd say a fairly small percentage has been digitized. We're planning on getting pretty much all of them done in the next few years with the Media Digitization and Preservation Initiative. We're going to do all the significant holdings throughout the university. That's the plan, next 4 years. And I'm sorry, the other part?
The main question was, of the people who are being recorded, how many of them are identified within the field recordings?
Most of them are. It depends. For example, I should have listed the people who sang Froggy Went A-Courtin', but it would have been a long list. In other cases, the recordings in Nepal, those are all identified where they were located. It really varies depending on who was doing the collecting and what sort of documentation we have. Generally, it's good, but it varies.
Any more questions?
Thanks. It's really great to hear some of these recordings. I'm just wondering if you could talk a little bit about who's using the recordings. You mentioned there are some tribal communities that have had interest in them, and what other sorts of people, like researchers or collectors, are expressing interest?
I mostly work with the digitization side of it, so I don't get to work in the reference area. So I may not know, I'm not sure exactly. I know that we have the ethnomusicology program and the folklore program at Indiana, the students, the professors, and also researchers come from many different places to use these recordings. So some of them are more restricted than others, but most of them are available for research. And that will become easier as we get more of them available online. They may not be freely accessible, but at least they'll be more accessible than they are now, if that helps.
All right, thank you.